Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello and welcome back to the Thistle Scottish Rugby Podcast. Emergency reaction to the Lions squad that has just been announced. And do not adjust your headsets. The Lions squad includes eight Scotland players will be touring to South Africa this summer. Alan, Matt and I are hiding away from our work for the next half an hour to give you a snap reaction to the announcement that has just happened. Chris Harris, Stuart Hogg, Ali Price, Finn Russell, Doohan Van der Merwe, Xander Fagerson, Rory Sutherland, and Hamish Watson all touring with the Lions this summer. Matt, you have had to go out for a walk to calm down from all of the excitement. Eight Scottish Lions, how are you feeling about that?
Yeah, as the announcement was being read out, I was, you know, celebrating each name, and then suddenly got to a situation where there were five by the time we got to just the forwards, got through the backs. I was thinking, this is absolutely ridiculous. I don't think anybody, even the most one-eyed Scottish fans, would have predicted eight Scots. But then you look at each of those selections, and I think, you know, there's not too many that are marginal. I think that in every single instance, they're a deserved pick. And I think should do pretty well on the Lions tour and kind of definitely merit their place there.
Absolutely. And we'll come into their place in the wider makeup of the squad. But Alan, how did you react?
Yeah, absolutely buzzing. I think we've talked about it even in sort of previous Lions tours that whilst obviously we've still been supportive of kind of the Lions, it's you just naturally just aren't engaged as it as much as a concept if there's less Scotland players in it. And I think, you know, probably for the first time, you know, whilst we've been fully engaged with the Lions, that we had kind of that big bulk of Scotland players. And, to be honest, before it, I said I thought we would get five, and then I said a range of between three and seven. So to be honest, eight is actually blowing away my actual predictions.
Yeah, and then for the first time in a number of tours, you know, the squad makeup is relatively balanced. I think it's eight Scots, eight from Ireland, 10 from Wales, and 11 from England. Maybe those two the other way around. Quickly, just before we get into breaking that down, this pod is always brought to you by the guys over at Rob Mac. Check them out if you're ever needing any sort of mortgage advice or anything along those lines, robmac.co.uk. Thanks very much for their support. We know they will be absolutely buzzing to have so many Scottish Lions this summer as well. Should we start with the backs? Let's go in the order of how it was announced. Obviously, five Scots, Harris, Hogg, Price, Finn, and Doohan within that. I have to say, and we'll start here, I think I was most buzzed when I saw Ali Price's name read out. I mean, Alan, who is he sort of beaten off in that sort of scrum half position to get on the tour?
Well, I think it's been sort of a common theme is it feels like there's probably three or four, maybe even five Scots that were potentially in sort of versus someone from the other home nations that sort of come through and gotten that tour spot. And I think we don't know how influential, obviously, Townsend and Tandy were as part of those conversations. But, you know, it feels like, and actually there's a lot of names that were getting chucked in for that third scrum half spot because of just potentially no one outside of Murray and Gareth Davis had really sort of put their hand up consistently during the Six Nations. But it feels like Danny Kerr was one of the names that was thrown into the mix, probably with Thomas Williams and someone like John Cooney. But I think when you look at how consistent Price has been for Scotland over the last 2 years and how he's managed to kind of elevate himself above sort of George Horn, both at Glasgow and Scotland. And I think ultimately outside of Scotland, I think a lot of people have focused on a couple of the mistakes that Price made, both in that England game when they got charged down and that kick at the end of the Wales game. But I really do think objectively, when you look at his performance across the whole of the Six Nations, he does deserve to be that third name on the team sheet.
I mean, I know there is on this podcast, but it does feel that there is a bit of an inbuilt sort of negativity, particularly around that discussion of Price, you know, focusing in on those negative points when actually, you know, broadly speaking, in the Six Nations, he performed very well. Another person who had an absolute barnstorming Six Nations and has won a huge number of followers, Chris Harris, named with quite a workman-like set of centres, Matt. But, you know, what can we sort of read from that that decision to take that group of four?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think when I heard Elliot Daly's name announced, I thought that that was probably Harris's chance gone, because if you look at some of the maybe nail on guys like Henshaw, Davies, Jonathan Davies, I'm quite surprised hasn't gone. I thought that might have been Harris's last chance, but I think Harris is very much a Gatland style player. Like, his strengths are around probably his solidity, particularly in defence. And I think the way that he has performed for Scotland and for Gloucester as well, which might have come into it. I know Gloucester haven't been playing that well, but Harris has sort of been consistently outstanding for them. That combined with probably a bit of Townsend in Gatland's ear was enough to take him. Yeah, as you say, those centres are, I think, workmanlike, to put it politely. So I don't think there's going to be too much invention. And I wonder what someone like Finn Russell, who will come on to, would think about having Bundy, Aki, or combinations of Bundy, Aki, Henshaw, or Chris Harris outside him. I suppose he's used to playing with Chris Harris, but it maybe puts quite a lot of pressure on him to create stuff.
I think, and we're saying as well, so they've clearly picked sort of Daly and Harris, it feels like, as the two outside centre options ahead of Slade, Ringrose and Jonathan Davies, which, again, to your point, feels like they've very much focused, well, especially with Harris, on sort of the defensive aspects against South Africa. And yeah, Daly, just, I that's one that I didn't see coming, because he's definitely not going to play fullback just because Hogg and Liam Williams cover that. So he's only going as a 13. And I don't think he's played international rugby at 13 for 2 years.
He can play on the wing though as well.
But he's not, I appreciate that he did play on the wing in the 2017 tour. Mm. But again, when did he last play in the wing? Maybe like the 2017 Lions tour? I can't remember, both for Saracens and England.
I kind of feel though that, not to talk too much about the English players, but I do feel as if wing to fullback isn't that difficult a transition. And maybe he's going as like a third choice fullback as well, who just offers you a lot of versatility and that kicking option.
No, that is fair. And and then big Mick Doohan takes a spot on the wing.
Big Mick Doohan. I got a text actually from one of my mates at work saying, you know, what do you think of Doohan? And I was like, look, he's an absolute physical freak, but you know, maybe he is, you know, is that all he offers? But, you know, we saw in the Six Nations that he will get go forward, and that ability to get over the gain line, you know, that may stand him in good stead.
I initially thought Doohan wasn't going to make the plane, but I wonder just how important someone like North getting injured is, because, and you know, ultimately that in the rest of those kind of back three, there isn't someone that is that kind of big, strong runner that can kind of burst the game line, that can just pop off the shoulder of a 10 and kind of consistently, especially against kind of that tight defense that South Africa have, still get you over the game line. So yeah. But I generally think he's got a high chance of making the starting 15, or at least the sort of wider 23. When you look at the kind of form that he had during the Six Nations, ultimately he was by far and away the most impactful back three player playing.
Finn obviously selected alongside, I guess, Owen Farrell's going as that sort of 10-12 hybrid that we would expect. And Dan Bigger rounding out those three. Matt, do you think Finn's in the driving seat for the 10 jersey?
Possibly. I mean, obviously, he has a good chance, and I could very much see Owen Farrell being pushed out to 12 in the test spot. I think that, to be fair to Dan Bigger, you know, from a point where he wasn't even really first choice for Warren Gatland and Anscombe started at 10 for Wales, he's been playing really well recently. And I think that he is one of those kind of leaders who is able to drag teams through difficult situations. You know, he's a real competitor. So I kind of actually think that whilst Bigger doesn't have the game-breaking ability of Finn, having someone who's maybe a bit steadier and has more of a kicking game would suit that line style, particularly when you look at the centres that they've taken. So I think overall, actually, Bigger is probably in the driving seat at the moment, but you know, with only him and Russell are taken as like the sole tens, like there's every chance that Russell can push for that test spot.
Yeah, 100%. It's going to be really interesting to see how that battle evolves. And I guess it's going to come down to how Warren Gatland sees this Lions team playing. Stuart Hogg, obviously the other... the other Scot named in those backs, probably the only absolute banker 100% that we knew was going to be there. Alan, do you think there's been already some chatter that Hoggy could be, you know, part of that sort of leadership group because it's his third tour? Do you think he'll play a very significant role in the summer?
I mean, 100%, and I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up being midweek captain at certain points during the tour. And I think actually, as a lot of the kind of the debate has been kind of running around the lines, it feels like that back three, I wouldn't be surprised if Hogg, Liam Williams and Watson is kind of at the moment the kind of starting back three that Gatland's looking at. And I still do think that actually of all that squad, Hogg is probably the most penciled in to the starting 15. Just at that international level, he has just consistently proved himself to be kind of a world-class player. So it's, I think he 100% will and should be part of that kind of wider leadership team.
Yeah, absolutely. Quickly scooting over, five in the backs, three in the forwards. Xander Fagerson, I'm really excited to see him again. Had that great Six Nations with the sort of the red card aberration against Wales. Obviously, hasn't been held too much against him. I probably don't want to question you guys too much on props because, as we know, it's not our strong suit. But Matt, have you got anything to say about Xander getting in amongst that sort of the wider prop selection?
Yeah, once again, I wasn't sort of putting a lot of money on him going, but when you saw his name there, you thought, yeah, this, I think he deserves it. I think his performances for Scotland in the last couple of years have really improved. And I think particularly against England and France in the last Six Nations, he was absolutely class. I think that he offers that kind of all-court game, like his work around the park, his work rate is incredible. And I think his scrummaging is good enough. I wonder with someone like Rory Sutherland, whether, because there are a lot of good loose heads, and due to his injury problems, that they they're willing to take the risk on him and probably have a couple of guys in their back pocket that they would be happy to call up. But once again, he's a guy I could see doing really well when chucked into a Lions shirt, just sort of no nonsense, getting on with his job. So yes, it's really good to see them both included.
I guess, you know, before the announcement, we probably would have suggested that Xander would have kind of snuck in as that third, I'm going to go with, I can't remember what side it is, tight head prop.
Tight head.
But the fact that Sinclair hasn't been picked and you've got what is Xander, Tag Furlong and Mako, that feels like a big omission. I don't know whether Carlson Clare is injured, but I don't think there's a lot of people that would put a lot of money on Xander going ahead of Carlson Clare.
Yeah. Mako's other side of the scrum, but yeah, I agree.
Oh, God's sake.
So on the other side of the scrum, Rory Sutherland, or is he on the same side of the scrum?
No, either way, Rory Sutherland's number one.
So he's a Lucy. So there's another prop and another no-nonsense character. A very good Hoik representation. Wee while since there's been a couple of Hoik lads on the Lions.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, last year, it was 4 years ago with Hogg, but yeah.
Oh, sorry, but more than one.
Yeah.
Sorry, I guess what I was going for there. And then obviously probably the most debated man in Lions rugby over the last few weeks, Hamish Watson, has proved he is big enough to be selected in that tour party. But there's some quite interesting makeup of that back row, isn't there, Matt?
Yeah, I think so. I think that maybe someone like Jack Conan has been a bit of a late surge for selection, but I think he's quite an interesting pick. And then Courtney Laws, maybe some people will be a bit miffed at his selection, but the fact he covers 5 and 6, and whenever he has played for England recently, he is a class player, and he's got that Lions experience as well. So I'm not surprised to see him. I think maybe the omission of Underhill was a bit surprising. It seems as if a few people had him nailed on, but no, it's great to see Watson. And I think that the fact that Curry can play, I think you could happily put Curry at 6 as well, means that it's maybe not a straight shootout for that 7 test jersey of Watson versus Curry. I think you could accommodate them both. So yep. I think that Watson, now that he's on the plane, he's got every chance of making that test team, which, you know, for forwards, Scottish forwards, to be making a test team. I can't think the last time that happened. Richard Gray off the bench in 2013. But going into a tour with someone like that, having a realistic shot, is super exciting.
I guess one of the ways I'd potentially sort of been trying to read the tea leaves of the selection was they obviously had picked the 3 8s and Simmons, Conan and Faletau. And then I wondered whether they'd picked 3 7s and Tipperick, Watson and Curry. And then clearly they kind of added that additional play so that they can put 6 second rows into the squad, but with three of them having the ability, so Itoje, Laws and Byrne, to play 6 if needed. And I just wondered whether that might be the route that they go down, where it's kind of, you know, they will look to put either a Byrne, Laws or a Itoje at 6, both just kind of help out in the lineup, but also just to kind of help in those kind of tighter areas on the pitch.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, we're sitting here still reeling, I think, from getting 8 Scots on the plane. It's probably worth mentioning a couple that were in the conversation but have missed out. I think probably Johnny Gray being the largest name that's been sort of mentioned in dispatches. But Matt, do you just put that down to just the sheer quality of the second row options across the rest of the teams?
Yeah, exactly. There's some sort of leaked team sheets coming out this morning that did have him in there. And there are quite a few commentators sort of predicting his selection. So I thought he might have snuck in. But I think given we've got 8 Scots, and as you say, like the strength and depth in that position, and also the ability of Laws, Itoje, for instance, to cover second row as well. Second row and back row.
Yeah.
It just meant that he was always really going to be up against it. But you know what? Like, there's always so many injuries, like even beforehand and during the tour. So I wouldn't be surprised to see someone like Johnny Gray called up. And, you know, as I think we said it in our newsletter this week, like doing really well. I think he can fit in into a Lions team really nicely, maybe the same way that he's sort of seamlessly made the transition to Exeter.
I guess if you look at second row omissions, you know, even a year ago, it feels like the kind of consensus was that it was Itoje, James Ryan kind of boiler room partnership was relatively nailed on. And the fact that you've kind of gone from that to James Ryan not even being in the squad is a pretty sort of drastic turn of events. Mm-hmm. And, you know, someone like Johnny Hill, who I don't imagine was really part of the conversation sort of 12, 18 months ago.
Yeah. Now, that's the only point around Johnny Gray that I would actually feel a bit miffed. Like, I think we've talked about it before, and Johnny Hill does seem to slightly outshine Gray in the Exeter jersey, but I think that it's because they're almost quite different players. Like, Gray's the real workhorse, just gets on with the dirty work. And I think that when Hill's made that step up to England, I think he's always looked pretty poor, actually. And maybe that's to do with how he's been used by Eddie Jones, but that is a selection I am pretty surprised by.
No, I agreed. I think I don't know whether he's allowed to do, he's given kind of freer rein with Exeter, but I think you're right in the sense that at an international level, Johnny Gray, especially in the Six Nations, outshone Johnny Hill. So I think, you know, probably has a fair kind of reason to be a bit miffed, but I also kind of get at the point that Johnny Hill, it might even be the biggest of all those second rows. Like, he's an absolute monster. And some of his form for Exeter is genuinely pretty unbelievable. So, but no, it's, I was going to say, I was actually just reviewing my bets that I made pre, I had actually forgotten. So Chris Harris at 5-1 was a good little learner.
How much did you put on that?
I only put like a fiver, but still, every penny counts. And, especially because I must be the only person who's bet twice on Leinster to win matches and lost both times. I had money. I used all my winnings from the Masters to put it on Leinster to beat La Rochelle. And then the other time I had Leinster to beat Saracens at the Champions Cup final like 2 or 3 years ago when they got pumped. But I had Chris Harris and I had Jack Noel. Both at about 5-1, which so good. Nice to see one of them come through.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose the one other name I was, again, which has been included in a lot of dispatches, and it's possibly just it came too early for him, but Jamie Ritchie, not included, again, was included in an awful lot of pundit discussion. But I think if you look across that back row and the makeup of that, particularly with those sort of second row hybrids, it is just an extraordinarily competitive arena, isn't it, Matt?
Yeah, exactly. And I think that maybe people were slightly clutching at straws with the argument that Ritchie could play second row because he has done it for Edinburgh in the past, but it's been in a makeshift capacity and he's never done it at international level. Whereas, you know, that Itoje and Laws have done it at that highest level. I think, as you say, he's got plenty of time under his belt. And once again, like he might have got a letter or an email, whatever it was, saying that he was under consideration, mainly for that versatility and also how well he's been playing. But I think there's plenty of time for him.
He had a phenomenal game, and I think it's the recency bias that everybody has when they're talking about the Lions. Is Jamie Ritchie was possibly better than Hamish Watson against France in that final game for Scotland. So a lot of people were maybe reconsidering him in that light. But he's an extremely young lad. He's got one, at least the next tour in him, if he continues on his trajectory. So
a lot of it's timing and momentum as well. I think if the tour had been picked in November, it's arguably that Richie was ahead of Watson in the pecking order. And there was something about Watson obviously having that big game against England that sort of set that momentum of the kind of way. Clearly, Watson had a very good Six Nations, but Richie did have a very quiet start and kind of peaked at the end. So just sort of kind of got lost a little bit in that conversation. But to your point, I always still thrills me how young Jimmy Richie is, seeing as kind of like how long he's been around for. So yeah, 100%. I mean, when you look at Wyn Jones, Jamie Richie's potentially got three more Lions tours in him.
Yeah, that is a very, very good point. So as a final point, it's obviously we are an hour into knowing what the squad is, but we would be remiss to not start projecting that forward to the first test. Out of our eight Scottish Lions, how many do you think we can realistically say are, you know, in contention for that first test? Matt, do you want to have a go first?
Yeah, sure. I mean, obviously, Hogg's the obvious one, and Watson, as we mentioned. I'm not sure about Ali Price. I think that his relative inexperience against the other two might count against him. As I said, Finn Russell's got every chance of making it if he just, you know, has like two or three absolute blinder performances and Gatland decides that the Lions need to do something a little bit different to beat South Africa rather than sort of trying to match fire for fire. And I really think that Doohan, like, if he's given space, if he's used like he maybe was by Scotland as a sort of auxiliary back row forward, like, I think he has a game style of play that no one else in that back line has. So if he puts his hand up with a couple of good performances, I think you could see him definitely pushing for that test wing spot.
No, agreed. I think, you know, there's obviously the players that you sort of highlighted that are clearly kind of fighting for that starting 15. And then I think there is a couple of players that are going to be more in kind of a fight for getting on that bench. You know, people like Xander and potentially Sutherland and Price, who I think it seems unlikely that they'll break into the starting 15, especially for that first test, but have a good chance of, especially with a couple of good performances, being on that bench and, you know, ultimately, you know, getting on the field.
Yeah, and we will be with you every step of the way, every twist and turn. There's an awful lot of rugby to go through, not least the 1872 Cup. Imagine all the Scotland lads are actually, who have been selected, are like, look, I'm not keen to play in that game, please.
Imagine getting injured for the Lions at like an empty Murrayfield.
Empty Murrayfield. Oh my God, that is too bleak.
Imagine not that you got injured in the 1872 decider, but you got injured in the fourth match that wasn't even applicable to the 1872
the
Cup.
The Rainbow Cup dead rubber that means absolutely nothing. That would be too bleak. I'm just scrolling through Twitter. It's interesting to be in this position where, you know, we're delighted with the outcome of that squad announcement. Ireland international, former Ireland international, Luke Fitzgerald, Hill over Ryan, wake up from that dream. No Sexton is crazy. So he's not, they're not happy. Joe Marler has tweeted, this has got the same feeling as the Line of Duty finale. So he's obviously not that excited. He's obviously not that excited about it either. But, you know, we get these few and far between eight Scottish Lions. That is that's a lovely feeling. I'm very, very excited about it. Well, that was just a quick emergency pod getting us the snap reaction to that Lions announcement. We will, of course, be with you throughout the remainder of the season and the Lions tour this summer. Follow us on Twitter at Thistle Rugby Pod, on Instagram, Thistle_Rugby_Pod. Although, actually, I've logged myself out and I can't remember the password, but I'll find that at some stage. And make sure you subscribe to our newsletter, Going From Strength to Strength. That's on Substack, Thistle Rugby Podcast. Have a look and we will get that into your inbox every single week. Thanks again to the guys over at Rob Mac for all the support in the pod. Until then, we'll speak to you guys soon. Cheers.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.